He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today. And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Oh, it's time to start off another week, Les.
Yes. Well, news has kind of died down.
Yes.
No major earth upheavals in the world of professional wrestling, or at least not that I'm aware of.
Not this week, at least.
No. We finished up in Columbus, Georgia on Monday night and came home on Tuesday, had a tremendous time visiting with Jerry and his wife, Kathy, and the show, a great building, and did voiceovers for 2 days. But I do want to mention again that the Harley Race Noah Camp, September 21 through 24 in Eldon, Missouri. You can go to harleyrace.com to sign up, get all the pertinent information. But three Noah stars will be there. It's a four-day camp. The two best athletes is picked by the Noah people. We'll get the opportunity to go to Japan and train for 3 months and live in the Noah Dojo.
Excellent.
Yes, and so if you know if you're looking for a door opening in Japan, this could be possibly it for somebody. And I know in talking with the Noah contingent last year that they're interested in forming long-term relationships with some good young American talent. So
that sounds great.
Yeah,
you can get that information at harleyrace.com.
Yes, sir.
All
and
right.
Friday night we went up to Dayton. The Ring of Honor show. They had, I'd say, between five and 600. Card was good, but the main event was what you know was looking forward to seeing anyway. It was a four-way elimination: CM Punk, Jamie Gibson,
mm-hmm.
Chris Daniels, and Samoa Joe
yes.
for the world title. And they went almost an hour, and that building was hot, man. I mean, there was no air conditioning at Montgomery County Fairgrounds. But it's a good, solid match. Gibson was sent to the back due to a chair shot from Punk about a third of the way into, or maybe a little farther in, maybe halfway into the match.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him to the back. And then Punk was able to eliminate Joe and Daniels. And then the fans started to chant for Jamie, and he came back out and was bleeding. And anyway, they went at least another 15 minutes, I'm sure, at that point, which took it close to an hour. And he ended up with a tiger driver off the top. And it was very nice. I mean, it really was. And he gave a nice speech, and they started, to chant for Punk, please don't go. And he took the mic in a real professional gesture and said, listen, I don't want to hear that. You know, you should be chanting Gibson's name here.
That's nice.
Yeah, and he left the ring. But, and I got to visit, BJ and Stryker and Nigel and Collier were on the card, which...
all the boys.
Yeah, my guys. And Jamie, too. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen Jamie in a while. And his wife was along, and we got the chance to visit. And so I got to talk with Matt Hardy a little bit. Matt got a mixed reviews.
Really?
I was teasing him. I said, those people were acknowledging that you were number one with their fingers. And I said, I noticed you acknowledged right back that they, in your mind, were number one as well. But, it was kind of crazy. It was mixed, with him at homicide.
Uh-huh.
And, then the one section got on him hard, it was just back and forth. But he's getting in better shape. They put in a little time. It was a good card.
Still residual bitterness of Matt Hardy swerving everybody.
I told him I should have told him about my co-host who threatened suicide over this. But when he came up to say hello, we shook hands and I said, boy, I'm really mad at you. I said you worked me. He said, yeah, just get in line. Everybody. But it was a real good card, and I'm not sure when Jamie. Of course, this was Punk's last weekend with Ring of Honor, I was teasing Gabe. I said, you know why Cornette's nuts now, right? Just as you get ready to push somebody, then they get taken away from you.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, great show. And they won't be back in the Dayton until January, but they are going to be venturing into Cleveland and Detroit. So, and something else to do with them, and we were talking on Friday night, and it's get the whole deal ironed out. I'll make the announcement here first, but anyway, something in the works. You'd be excited about it too.
You're not even going to tell me off the air, are you?
No, I'm not.
Wow.
We've got two great guests and two longtime friends of mine, guys I've worked with over the years. Bob Armstrong first, probably one of the best, you know, talking about Southern babyface style of promo. Bob was blasé at it.
Yep, Bullet Bob.
Yes, and a lot of fire as a babyface, which is necessary, and just a good guy. And, you know, I feel like a part of the extended Armstrong family is, you know, I was welcome in their home and virtually helped raise the kids and serve, you know, a little bit. But, yeah, you know, he's but the guy was, you know, was a great hand. And still wrestling on the indies.
Yes.
Yes. And, of course, Jim Cornette's going to be with us, one of the best creative minds ever in the business. I had a chance to talk to Jimmy before we, you know, set the interview up, and he said everything's cool. You know, he's laid back and relaxed, and, you know, he's not really stressed out about anything. But anyway, we'll get a chance to talk to both these guys tonight. And then what's the schedule coming up in the upcoming weeks? We've got Lance Storm and Jimmy Jacobs next week?
Yes.
Yes.
He is, Jimmy's the man. He was just on Velocity again.
I said to him Friday night, I said, hey, you're going to be on our show. And he, when I said show, he was thinking wrestling show. And he said, no.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And oh, yeah, the talks, yeah, yeah. He said, so. And I was teasing BJ, and I told him, thank you. I said, Jimmy, thanks for carrying my friend BJ here.
Yeah.
BJ's headed back to Japan this coming week. As a matter of fact.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's got a 3.5-week stay over there. So he was excited about that. He hadn't been, he made two tours with Noah. Oh, gosh, I guess the last one was a year and a half or maybe 2 years ago. I'm not sure. But anyway, he's, you know, so he's back over there and he's excited about going. And Punk's excited about making the next step up. We talked about that a little bit. And Joe's real happy with his, you know, being able to work TNA and, you know, continue Ring of Honor and the whole nine yards. So, yeah, it was a great night. Got to visit with a lot of the guys and saw some good matches, and we just had a real good time.
That's good.
And I highly recommend to anybody, you know, if Ring of Honor's in your area, check it out, obviously.
Yes. Do they let you in for free?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
I got a comp.
All right.
Why? I don't take up a seat. The wife sits up on the top. And, well, I did sit down and watch some of the matches Friday night, but normally I'm hanging out in the dressing room anyway.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, go to visit. And then I would say, well, I'm going to get out of here early, and then I get hooked on the matches and I stay.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to go all the way to Dayton, you know, might as well watch some of the matches.
There you go. There
Absolutely.
You go. So what's going on your end of the news, Doc?
Oh, we got the... a lot of good news this week, actually.
Okay.
Samoa Joe, of course, good friend of the show.
Yes.
He did an interview with Alex Marvez this week.
Good.
Yes, and basically going over why he was talking about why he signed with TNA over WWE and stuff like that. But, I mean, you've heard all that because he said it on our show first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Very good. Oh, and speaking of Marvez, the big A. We were going over some final proofs of our training manual this past week,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I mean, like checking to add a little bit here, take a little bit away here. Everything I've seen a proof of the cover and the layout of the book, and it looks really nice. We're really excited about that. It's supposed to be out there next month too. So it's from Sports Publishing LLC. You can go to their website and pre-order. Click on wrestling, or you can get that on EPWT.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Professional Wrestler's Workout and Instructional Guide, forwarded by Jim Ross, by Harley Race, Rick Steamboat, Les Thatcher, with Alex Marvez. And yeah, we're excited about it. So that's out next week, and next month, and looks pretty good.
Cool. Awesome. Reality News Online interviewed the Diva Search contestant, Layla. You remember Layla?
I remember Layla, yes.
The one who popped out on TV.
Yes.
And she claims it wasn't planned ahead of time.
Cool.
Which somebody else claims that it was.
Well, you know what?
As long as we got to
see them. Only their hairdresser knows for sure.
As long as we got to see them, I don't think it matters if it was planned or not. You know, I don't think a lot of people are worried about that much.
You weren't anyway, right?
Of course not. I don't bother with trivial things.
The guy that spends $40 to see the bra and panties match on a pay-per-view, there's no
yes.
hope for you anyway, Doc.
I'm getting a tattoo that says Mark right on my forehead.
Yes, you should.
And it's going to be backwards, Al Snow style, so I can see it myself when I look in the mirror.
Right.
Did you hear about the Iron Sheik?
No.
He got in a car accident last week.
No, I did not know that.
Yes. He wasn't hurt too bad. He had some minor injuries and went to the hospital, but he's okay.
Well, good. He's a salty old sucker. He'll stand up under it. Well, good. Our best out to Cosgrove.
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. And, of course, Chris Tolos just passed away.
Yes. Did you know him?
No. I never met Chris. John, I know. You know, I met. In fact, last time I talked to John was out of Cauliflower Alley.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I never met Chris. Never worked the territory that they were in. So we never hooked up. But great tag team. You know, a very very strong heel team and did good business in several territories.
Right.
So yeah. Certainly a legend as far as that. Steve and Greg could tell us, more about that. That's in the tag team book, right? You want to read more about the solos? There's a plug for Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, the tag teams.
Yes, it is in that book.
Get it on Slam Wrestling.
TNA pay-per-views tonight.
Yes, and I couldn't tell you who's on it.
It's Sacrifice. We will go down the list later on.
Okay.
And we'll, right before we have Jim Cornette on, we'll go down the list, I think.
Okay.
And we'll go match by match on that.
All right.
Good stuff. So, like we said, coming up in the show, we're going to have Bullet Bob Armstrong, of course, coming up. Jim Cornette is on the way.
Right.
And it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I think it is.
Let's get it started.
All right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our first guest, Bob Armstrong, right here on Wrestling Weekly.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
We're back here at Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young, Les Thatcher with you.
Yes.
Got our first
back.
Guest. I'm listening to the music again, Les. I keep doing that.
You're into that music. Well, our next guest is into music, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he still boogies when he comes to the ring. A longtime friend of mine, first time I ever met him and worked with him was 1966 in Savannah, and I said, Jesus, loosen up. tremendous baby face, great guy, and just a wonderful friend. Please say hello to Bob Armstrong.
Les, if you keep on that, talking like that, you're gonna make me cry.
Oh.
But I remember it well. I sure do remember it well. You were the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
I
got to
say
good,
that.
Anything I've ever said good about Bob Armstrong, take it all back.
I do have to say that. I was a rookie, and you were the smoothest guy I'd ever wrestled.
God bless you.
It really made me feel good.
Well, you know, it was always a pleasure to work with the Arms. You had a heck of a job. You were the Marietta Fire Department when you first started to wrestle.
Yes, sir.
And another member of the fire department broke in. Tell the fans that story a little bit.
Well, I wrestled for 7 years, I started wrestling in... I had my job as a fireman. I started on the same exact day, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but after about 7 years of doing both, I woke up one day and I was right beside a trailer truck about to run under him, and he blew the horn and woke me up, and he kind of made up my mind I had to choose one or the other, so I chose wrestling because I loved it the most. And my good friend Darrell Cochran was another wrestler, and we worked out and trained together, and he passed away recently, and I really miss him. And we were the Georgia boys, and so I've never regretted leaving the fire department. Never regretted. I love this business too much.
I know what you mean exactly. And you know, you were a guy. I mean, you moved. You're of course now living in Pensacola, but or Gulf Breeze, I should say. But you're originally from Marietta, but you never really strayed far from the nest, and made a good living once you. I mean. Nashville, Atlanta, Mobile, you didn't...
Let me tell you a little story right quick. When I was 6 years old, and a lot of your fans will remember this name, Gorgeous George, the original Gorgeous George. He came into town. He went right to the ladies' hair coiffure, where you have your hair fixed, which nobody did in those days. No man ever went to a woman's hair place, hairstylist. You know, he immediately did that first thing, got the whole town talking. He sold the arena out completely. I couldn't get in the building, so my father let me stand on his shoulders to see the man. And I remember him throwing out the gold bobby pins, and they had the policemen trying to keep people from fighting over those gold pins, and it fascinated me. And since I was 6 years old, and I'll never forget that. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I always wanted to be a wrestler, always, all my life.
Excellent.
And you passed that down to
your
sons.
All four sons. I tried my best to talk them out of it. They saw me come home with stitches and broken bones and limbs and... And still, all four of my sons wanted to wrestle, and still they've made names for themselves in this business. I'm very proud of them. I sure did hate to see them come home hurt like I did, because they turned right around. I got to see them come home all torn, beat up, hurt. It's in your blood, and when you get it in your blood, it's there.
You're right. You're absolutely.
And now, you got to tag with your son Brad in Georgia during his rookie part.
Oh, I know. You sure did. You guys made a heck of a team. You're all about the same size. It was a great team.
I'll tell you what, Doc. I know how those boys were raised too, because it was always yes sir and no sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, and I learned a good lesson in the Marine Corps.
I'll tell you a real funny story about the yes or no sir. A lady I was dating, Brad, at the time was single, as was I, of course, met her younger sister. So I fixed him up. So we double dated a couple times, and I said, finally, Brad, you know, we're double dating here. You don't have to yes sir or no sir, but you can call me Les. He said, yes, sir. Forget it.
Yeah, Brad was he was just always like that. I never spared the rod, I'll have to admit that. Now I'd be in jail. I did if I raised children like I did back then, I'd be a jailbird.
But I'll tell you, the MVP of this thing is Gail, Bob's wife.
Toughest of us all.
She's had the baby all. Not never mind the four boys, but their daddy too.
She had to raise five boys. She sure did. And, she's the toughest one of us all. Scott, my oldest son, always tells the story that she had the best wrist lock in the business, because when she locked onto that wrist and whipped you with that switch when you did something wrong, there was no getting away. No getting away. She had the best wrist lock in the business.
And she's just getting ready to retire too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's getting ready to retire. We're going to do a little traveling and do a little wrestling around the country. There's a lot of guys taking bets that I won't make it until I'm 70. I'll be 66 in about a month and a half. And I've always said I was going to try to make it until I was 70 years old. And the bets are hot and heavy that I'll never make it. But I don't miss many workouts, as you know, Les.
I know.
And I've got my weight down to about 220, and I feel real good at that. And so far, somebody up there likes me and has stayed with me.
Well, yeah, you've taken care of yourself, too. That's one thing. You know, you had a chance to work with a lot of the NWA world champions.
Yeah, sure did.
And of all of them, in terms, never mind how they got over with the fans, but with you working in the ring, who was the smoothest? Who was the best?
Well, that's a hard question because all of us, you know, to get to be the world champion, you got to be about the best. But
exactly,
I think the man who could really make the fans feel what they were supposed to feel was Ric Flair.
Yeah,
I can't deny that. He had the suave way about him and the white hair and. You know, and the cockiness and everything, and I think he was about the best. Of course, the Funk brothers were mighty good.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly opposite. I wrestled Dory Funk once, and we outdrew Elvis Presley. It made the big headlines. They had a brand new building in Macon, Georgia, and they wanted somebody in there to really draw some money, so they brought in Elvis Presley. He drew 7,600 people, and oh, it made all the headlines and everything, and 1 week later, Dory Funk and I drew 8,200 people, and that really tore it up. But the difference in those brothers were Dory Funk, in 30 minutes, he'd have the people on their feet. They sat there and watched the match and watched his talent, which he had great talent.
Mm-hmm.
And in 30 minutes, he'd have everybody standing, and Terry was just the opposite. He'd have them on the feet trying to kill him on the way to the ring.
Right.
So that was, as you well know, you wrestle both of them. You know that's different. One of the toughest was probably people don't remember, Gene Kaniski, the big Canadian. That was a man that would beat the living hell out of you, if you pardon my French. And he was one of the toughest I ever wrestled.
You know, we had Jerry Oates on a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned to him we were talking about the Fred Ward thing that we did last weekend down there.
Uh-huh.
But Fred took care of both his Georgia boys.
Yeah, he did.
Right? I mean, you and Jerry were both kept good in Macon and in Columbus, even if you were doing jobs in
every
other city. Yes.
It was amazing. I've always said if it hadn't been for Fred Ward, there wouldn't be a me. And I really mean that. He put all the belts on me at one time. I had 7 belts. You know, because at that time we had city belts, you know, county
right.
belts, and we had a belt for every time, every town you could mention in county. And I had 7 belts at one time. And man, I've got a picture. I couldn't get all the belts on me, just hanging around me because he really had faith in me, and I love that man. I really miss him.
Yeah, that was some good. I mean, you know, we talked about with Jerry, but. Everybody that was anybody in the wrestling business in the 60s, 70s passed through Columbus and Macon.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, there was hardly, you might name a handful of guys that missed, but hardly.
Very, very hard to find anybody that missed those two areas. He knew how to run a town. He knew how to operate. And he just that's why so many people came, you know, to see him. It's a Fred Ward night like you were talking about.
Yeah. Exactly.
We got some questions in the chat room for you.
All right.
Crusher Cox wants to know if you think that the old territory system will ever reemerge due to McMahon having OVW and Deep South as training promotions.
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. This year, I've had 2 weekends off. I usually wrestle just on weekends and then sometimes maybe on a Thursday or Sunday. But ordinarily, it's on Friday and Saturday. And I've only had 2 weekends off. It's been the busiest year I've had since 1990. So I really don't doubt that the old territory might come back in. I would like to see that because, as it was years ago, you could take your family, you could move there for a year, and kids could go to school and everybody have a good time, and then you go to another state. You know, if you had a good reputation, you go to another state.
Right.
And then they started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and. You know, he got, and then finally, Mr. McMahon. In fact, I heard him say the other day he wished to hell he hadn't bought WCW because it's the biggest mistake he ever made.
Really?
He killed his competition. So now he went to, I think it was Knoxville the other day, and only drew 3,500 people where he used to do over 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So I see a good possibility of the territory coming back.
Yeah, we were talking about, I'm trying to think who I was talking to about somebody about Knoxville that we broke, meaning Southeastern, broke the record in that building. Right. It was a Russian hockey team and a Knoxville hockey team at the time that set the record of 6,000 and some odd, and we topped it. I'm trying to think of the year.
I was on that card. There
was it 76, Bob?
It was
76.
About 76.
Yeah.
Had to be 76, and I was on that card. You were on that card. Had five championship matches. Jerry the King Lawler was on that card. Dory Funk Jr. was on that card.
Right.
And it was just a fantastic wrestling card, and it outdrew the hockey players.
Right.
That shocked everybody else. So from then on, wrestling was hot there. It didn't have, in fact, now I go to Knoxville approximately, you know, maybe once or twice a month, and it's always a good crowd. It's just a good wrestling town.
Sure. Have you been up there for Jimmy Golden yet?
No, I haven't been up there for him. Now, my son Brad is going up there right away. He's going up there right away.
Yeah. Dr. Tom, I was talking to him earlier today, and he said to give you his regards.
Well, good. He's a fine wrestler, one of the toughest little guys. I guess that's why he trained people for Vince McMahon so long. You know, he wanted the best to train his boys, so that speaks a lot for him.
Yes, yeah, Tommy's good people. Yeah, and he has got a great eye for talent and everything.
Yes,
yeah,
he is.
He said Jimmy's son is a big boy, like at 6'6".
Yes, and he's a basketball player.
His son's
a basketball player.
So, but
has no interest in wrestling, though.
Well, he is wrestling. They got him working now.
You're kidding me.
No, they do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that rumor. I've never heard that. I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you told me that.
They've got him working now. I don't, you know, Tommy says, you know, he's going to be good. He just started.
He's got to be brand new because he just finished playing his basketball career.
Yeah. But that's another one that goes in the Welch / Fields /
right.
Fuller.
In fact, since this past Saturday.
You're 28 from that family now.
That's right. That's right, family. This past Saturday night, I had four of my sons on the same card. The Road Dog, Jesse James, was there. Brad James, Scott, and I'm saying James. You know my real name.
Yes.
I'm saying that it's me and Scott and Brad and
Brian.
And Brian, yes, we were all on the same card, and we had a ball in the Birmingham area.
Yes. You got, you still, where was it? Oh, I know, it was up John City with the rock band
mm-hmm.
that you guys got up and sang. And
oh, yeah.
And you still doing that, too?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I'm the entertainer.
All right. James Z. Dangerously wants to know what your favorite arena is to wrestle in.
Well, right now, it's that Jerry Oates. When I went in that place, that's my very favorite. And that's only the second time I've been there, but it just takes me back. I walk into that place, and it just takes me back to the day. And it jogs my memory, and he's got pictures on the walls of the old wrestlers, Ray Stevens, and all the old guys that were there when we were there, Les. That building to me it just takes you back to the day. It's almost like you're in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, and it's he runs a tight show. When he says he starts at 7:30, he starts at 7:30.
That's right. His show is very tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Les, describe the arena to me. It sounds like a wrestling Disneyland.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ricky Morton said, you know, I can't stop watching myself on that screen.
Yeah, if I could get over that. I thought I looked really skinny on that. I thought I looked pretty good. And I looked at that screen, I said, that's the skinniest kid. Wait a minute, that's me.
How do you like playing grandpa?
Well, I got 10 grandkids, and brother, there's nothing like it. They keep me in shape, stepping over them.
There you go.
I keep them stepping on one of them, hurting them. They keep me in shape. But I do love it. I do love it.
What do you do to keep in shape now? What kind of regimen do you have?
Gosh, I work out about three, mostly four times. Like this week, I've already just set out and planned my schedule, and it's going to be a five-day week, but that's very unusual. It's going to usually four times a week.
You work, one, two body parts each session?
That's right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. A couple of body parts each session. I found that works better for me. Everybody's got their own idea about what works better for them, but my metabolism is fast, and I just have to do two body parts a week to get it all in.
Yeah, you. I could learn to hate you. You couldn't get fat on a bet, could you?
I know, but I've tried. I'm gonna. When I retire, when I finally do retire, I've told my wife I'm gonna go down to 175. And she threatened to divorce me if I did that.
That damn Brad. Those abs. He looks the same as he did when he was 18 years old.
Brad, to me, honestly, Brad looks better than he's ever looked in his life.
Yeah.
Ole Anderson never says anything about anybody good. Leaned over and said, how old is that Brad? And I told him, and he said, he's got more muscle than I've ever seen on him. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, he has. He's just really, and he's got, our training regiments are about the same.
Well, you know, if you train a body part the right way once a week, give it time to recover and everything, that's
sure.
All it takes.
That's it. That's all you need. You do it right. And our method of training is until failure. And that gets in a little cardio, too. If you do something until failure, you've worked that muscle to the max, and you're breathing pretty hard. It's almost like cardio.
Yes. I'll tell you, some of your toughest, I was just thinking about the weather. You've had some nasty weather this last year.
It's killed us. My one son lost his home, his trophies. He lost everything that meant anything to him, Steve.
Oh, man.
And I really hate it. When I walked into that house, I cried. I couldn't help it. He lost everything he ever had. And people might not know it, but Steve was a great football player and baseball player. And he had one room that was full of trophies of just football and baseball. And he had a chance to go and had baseball scholarship, but he chose to wrestle. No matter how much I talked to him, he chose to wrestle. He might still be playing because he's 240 now and he can throw that ball. And I don't even want to catch a ball he throws. Mm-hmm. He can still throw that ball 90 something miles an hour. So, but he did what he wanted to do, and so I respect that.
We have a question from the chat room. It says, what were your feelings when WCW was running the Curse of the Armstrongs angle?
I thought that was great. That got more publicity. And when I first started in this business, and Les will tell you this, you hear this, and you wonder, at first, what are they talking about when they say any publicity is good? Whether they say something bad or good about you, mm-hmm. any publicity is good. And so that got... that Armstrong curse got more attention than anything else. So it didn't bother me one bit.
Excellent. Do you watch the product anymore?
I beg your pardon?
Do you watch the product anymore as far as WWE, TNA?
I very seldom watch that. I understand that TNA has just got a contract with...
Spike,
right.
Yes.
And so I may, I worked with them for 7 months, and I just got tired of the driver because I hate to fly. But I may get to work with them a little bit. I'm real happy for Brian because he got him a good raise when they got the contract with Spike.
Good.
And so that may set our family up for a little more. I mean, you know, it's never too late.
And Rhodey's teaching Sunday school out here, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, he's really changed his life around, and... Because he had to go to the bottom to do it. He went to the very bottom, and nobody could help him but himself, and he finally turned his life around, and I'm real happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he's, I tell you what, Doc, he's the youngest one. I always said when he was about 12 or 13, I said, Brian's going to be the banker, and he's going to take all you guys' money and make money without
and he did, months. And he did. He did. He's the biggest of us all. And he wouldn't touch a weight. If he saw it, he'll walk 10 miles around just to get around the weight. He just, at one time, I had him working out, and in 6 months, he went to 280 and became a behemoth. And he said, you know, I just don't like this. And now he just doesn't work out. He just does his work in the ring, and he wears the long clothes, and he's just happy with it. He's just happy with what he's doing.
That's great.
Do you think that size matters in the wrestling business?
Did I think that what matters?
Size.
So, well, not necessarily. In the old days, in the old days, you very seldom met a professional wrestler that was 6 foot tall. Mm-hmm. And Les will verify this. They were all just stocky, just very stocky. It was a lot of mat wrestling.
Sure.
Well, I was 6'2", and I was tall for a wrestler.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Big Bill Miller was 6'4".
Yeah, 6'4", and he was considered huge.
Yeah.
But now it's like the comic book era, and everybody has to be a certain size. But, you know, the toughest guys really are the smaller guys, the smaller compact guys that work out constantly, and they can hurt you in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. That's, I'll tell you what, now like Brad, to me, that's a good size.
Yeah, Brad's about the perfect size.
Yeah, he can work with smaller guys, he can work with bigger guys.
Right.
And he fits in either category.
Yes, he can. That's exactly right.
Damn him anyway. Wow. If we could put our old minds in that young body, just...
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
We could make some damn money.
Yep, I can't believe Brad's at his age now. I can't believe I've got sons that age.
I know.
It's just,
and don't tell her, that'll make us both old. My birthday's just a couple weeks after Bob. He's just almost not quite a year older than I am.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Us October guys are...
The October guys, they're hard to beat.
Yes, they are. Yes,
hard
they
to
are,
beat.
Right, guys. You're going up to Pennsylvania for the King of...
Philadelphia.
The reunion. Philly.
Philly,
right.
Yeah, they're going to have... They wanted a father and son team to wrestle a father and son team, so they picked Brad and I to wrestle Don Morocco and his son. Now, I don't know Don Morocco's son, but I hear he's an excellent worker.
Yeah, I've never seen, how long has it been since Don's worked on?
I don't know, but he was my partner for years. So for 2 years, we were partners, and we did real good together. And so I'm anxious to see him now. He was always big, but at that time we were both about 235.
Right.
And so they put us together, and we did real well.
That the one we did in January down in Tampa, that was a lot of fun too to see.
Everybody. Oh, that was a lot of fun. I saw so many guys I hadn't seen in 30 years. Less 30 years.
I know.
It amazed me, and I would ask, when's the last time I saw you? And they'd say, 1960-something, and I, oh, my gosh, I'm not that old.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
While I got you here in public, I'm going to tell you, too, that the first weekend in March this next year, you need to bring your butt over to Mobile.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do that. I've never been. I've always been booked, and, you know, I always said I would wrestle as long as they paid me right, and we could get the right deal together, but this time I think I'm just going to take, my wife will be retired, and I think I'm just going to take that time off and come to see everybody.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, honestly, we have a great time, and, you know, and just last year there was close to like 300 there.
Uh-huh.
And, Sputnik is Sputnik.
Yep. Well, now, they came to see me. I was wrestling in Biola Battery, Forrest Gump territory.
Mm-hmm.
And about six of the guys came over to see me Saturday night when they left there. They came over there. It was only a short distance, I think about 25 miles. And I was so surprised to see them, and I sure did appreciate them coming to see me wrestle. I think they were just actually curious to see if I could still wrestle. And we introduced them all, Sputnik got the biggest hand because they remember him the most. You know, everybody remembers Sputnik. And to me, Sputnik looks the same. He just...
Yeah.
He was always just beat up with ugly.
You're right. We had Donnie Fargo on a month ago,
uh-huh.
You know, on the show.
Right.
And I was telling Doc, I said, he's still as active now in his 70s as he was 30 years ago.
Yeah, he's the same. He's the same,
yeah.
Certainly. And never changed. Always looks the same to me.
Yep. And just as crazy as
you. Oh, crazy. I've seen that guy weigh 260, and I've seen him weigh 190.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He came into a match one time. They had pulled him over on the side of the road, and we pulled over to see what the action was because I recognized his van. And he had scratches all over him. He like somebody had beat him with one of those fences, with the forks on him.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And he had been through it. I don't know what he had been into, but he's just, you know how Don is. It's just hard to tell.
Absolutely.
But we got him out of the trouble, and he came on and wrestled and got all his wounds healed, and he wrestled it. And he at that time, he weighed 190, but the first time I met him, he weighed 260.
Yeah.
Always in shape at whatever weight.
He was Mr. Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
1950, I think, or 51 or something like that, yeah.
Well, he always had that body. He always had that frame.
Yeah, that's how he got hooked up with the business. Somebody spotted him.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes. You had a big feud with another one of our guests that are coming on tonight, Jim Cornette.
Oh, gosh.
Can you tell the listeners about that one?
Well, when I first started, he had a fan club, and he always called it Bob's Brigade, and he's always questioned me about this and questioned me about that, and I finally got tired of it, and we just had it out, so I just told him to take it and cram it, and he did.
And he did.
And later on, we met, and we did a lot of business together. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling, we kept that up there for 5 years. And then in Charlotte, the Charlotte area, he had the Midnight Express. But I have no ill feelings toward Jim. I have no ill feelings toward him at all. But I think time does really heal all wounds.
Yeah. Is it true that you turned down big money from the WWF to stay around Georgia?
No, it certainly is. I didn't like North. I went up there with... In fact, Bruno, he came to the Omni. We had a big show at the Omni, and he said, "How would you like to come up there?" And I said, "Well, I'll try it, you know, but there's too much snow up there. There's way too much snow, and they were going to bring me and this other guy in as a team, and we were going to be champions and this, that, and the other, but I think 3 weeks was enough for me there. It cured me. I wasn't used to walking in snow, and I wasn't used to being treated like that. You know, people have a different style. And when WCW started going up there, the first week I had 3 fights. And the promoter, who is Jim Barnett, Les will remember him, he told me, he said, "Bob, you've got to stop doing that. That's just the way these people treat each other up here." And I just didn't realize that. And so he said, "It's best just to shut up and walk away." And I got into it with a couple on a motorcycle once, and they had the helmets on and everything, and they were giving me the bird and this, that, and the other, and I just ran them off the road and got one and jerked the mask off, and it was a girl.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was, Kevin Sullivan was with me. He can verify that. And I really felt bad about that. And from then on, I just kind of changed my attitude up there. But I would go and come home. I'd never stay up there. 2 or 3 days, I remember I got snowed in Lansing. And Lansing, Michigan at one time, we were snowed in. Nothing was operating. I mean, it was, you know, 6 feet of snow. And Kevin Sullivan and Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful and I, we called around and got a gym. And then we called and got a cab driver brave enough to take us to the gym and back every day. That's the only way we survived. So I just like it down here better. Just don't like the snow.
I was going to say the tours with Georgia and WCW, in the early 80s, probably the most time you ever spent north of Nashville, right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely,
And that was...
those are not fond memories.
Yeah, you had your accident.
Not fond memories.
In Huntington, in the gym.
Oh, you mean the accident?
Yes.
Yeah. You mean that $38,000 worth of plastic surgery?
Yes.
I was thinking about the other day, how much would that be now?
Probably.
In fact, in Wheeling, West Virginia, they didn't have anybody that would touch me. And they sent me to Wheeling, the Ohio Medical Center. And I looked so bad, I had Ronnie Garvin with me and my son Brad and Pez Watley, bless his heart, who recently passed away.
Right.
And I would walk into the doctor's office, and the little kid would start screaming. And Ruddy says, "Here, let's put this black piece of cloth over your face." And about the third doctor said, "Oh, he needs something right now. His face is ruined." And so they called a doctor that was in the Ohio Medical Center, and luckily he was in town, and he had just reattached a guy's arm that had been run over by a train. And it took his complete arm off, and he'd actually put the guy's arm back on. Now, I don't know how much use he had of it, but he had a big reputation there, and he's actually the one that did the 5.5-hour surgery on me. And so they sent, but that was only half of it. I thought he was through, and I was thanking him so much. He said, "Oh, no, no, you're not through. We're going to send you home," because I kept begging, "Send me home, send me home. I can't. I just want to go home." So they found a doctor down here that was comparable to him, and he did 7.5 hours more surgery on me here. And I've still got the wires in my face, and I've still got the prosthesis under my left eye, and I have to change my glasses once in a while because that prosthesis moves around every once in a while. It'll change the vision on that eye. But I don't have fond memories of that, for sure.
No. Doc, and probably some of these younger people don't know what we're talking about, but
no, I don't.
You were doing bent arm pullovers in a gym, right?
Yeah, I was doing pullovers, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
And the bench flew straight up, and all the weights fell upon my nose and took it completely off.
Mm.
And I won't tell you where they got the skin to put back on my nose. But I'll give you a guess.
And how much weight were you pulling on
that? I had about 180 or 200 pounds, something like that. It was just way too much weight, and I assumed that the bench was nailed down.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And the wood gyms I had worked out down here, the bench was nailed down, so you could pull over as much as you like. Because I was pulling over 250 down here, and it was my first set. I was just warming up, and as I started over, the bench, I felt a little start to rise on the end, and all of a sudden it shot up and flew out from under me and left nothing in midair but me and the weights, my face directly under the weights.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell right onto my face and just took my nose off with it. And Brad said, "Dad, don't look. Don't look in the mirror. Don't look in the mirror." Oh, I think it hurt his feelings worse than it did mine.
I
got to
say, yeah, man.
Of course, you got to look, you know. And then when I looked, that's first. It never knocked me out, but my knees got real weak. When I looked and saw the sight in that mirror looking back at me.
Oh, wow.
It was a horrible sight.
That's awful. We got a question in the chat room from James, and he says that he's about to start training to be a wrestler. Do you find training rigorous, and did you ever consider quitting?
No, I never considered quitting, not at all. You know, if you got a dream and a dream strong enough, quitting is not an option. You don't quit. It's hard. They make it hard on you. But see, I'd been through the Marine Corps. 3 months of boot camp, and there was no such thing as quitting.
Right.
So they put me through it, and the Marine Corps was just as bad or worse. And then when I finished the 3 months in the Marine Corps and thought I was going home, they said, "No, boys, we're going to Camp Lejeune for advanced infantry training."
Mm-hmm.
So for 4 months, you know, I got the living hell beat out of me, and different things. And quitting wasn't an option; it was just finishing. Getting it over with.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Doc, the funny thing, I've had guys say to me, "Well, when you were training to get in the wrestling business, what did you think about, you know, if you didn't make it?" I said, "I don't mean to sound egotistical, but I didn't say I get up every morning and say I guarantee I'm going to be a professional wrestler." Because there were mornings I thought my body wouldn't get up, and there wasn't anybody guaranteeing anything. But I never thought about not making it.
You know?
You can't. You need to use. Bob will tell you the same thing. You need to use all that energy in a positive manner. You don't sit around and think, "What if?"
Yeah, but the glass half full, not half empty.
Exactly.
Sounds good. We're gonna have to cut you off now. We've had a great interview with you, Bob, and I really appreciate having you on. It's been an honor.
Well, sir, it's been nice to talk to you, too, and just call me at any time.
Bob, please give Miss Gail a hug for us.
I sure will.
Wish everybody at the family, God bless, and you guys take, and I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to be in Denver when you're in Pennsylvania, up in Philly. So.
Yeah, but you know, Les, we saw each other, 2 weeks ago, and I didn't know you were going to be there. So somewhere down the road, we always run into each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
It always happens. So I just say, I'll see you down the road, Jack.
All right, my friend.
Adios.
Bye-bye, Bob. Thank you.
Bye.
That's Bob Armstrong, Bullet Bob, here on Wrestling Weekly. He's a good guest, Lest.
Yes, he is, and a good guy, and really a great family, good people. They really are.
Yes. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to run down the Sacrifice pay-per-view. It's on TNA tonight. It's going to be a good one, Les, I think.
You think?
I don't know what you're going to think about it. We're going to find that out after the break.
We'll check it out.
And we've got Jim Cornette coming up, our featured guest, so stick around. Get your questions ready. Good stuff coming up on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, it's TNA pay-per-view night.
Yes.
It usually is when we do the show.
It seems like every Sunday night's a pay-per-view.
I think actually the last couple weeks we didn't have one, but tonight it's Sacrifice. It's going to be starting in just about an hour, right when we go off the air, on live on pay-per-view. So let's go down the list for you, and we'll see what our resident expert Les thinks about each of the matches and the pay-per-view as a whole.
You know what? Let me say this. I have read the card, online or in the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly didn't pay that close of attention. Don't ask me. Well, you know, I don't watch their show on the website, so I'm not really attuned to what's going on too much. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that lack of interest necessarily. Once it comes on TV, I'll start watching it.
Right. It's just hard to sit in front of the computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I understand. I have the same problem. And I have a big screen, too. I mean, I got this nice, like, 17, 19-inch screen. And I still can't watch it on the computer because it's not the same thing.
Right.
But luckily, you know, TNA is going to be back October 1st.
Yep.
Just like Terry said last week, Terry Taylor, October 1st is going to be the debut, or the re-debut, if you will, of Impact on Spike TV.
There you go. And we'll see how she fares.
Yes.
All right. What's the card?
All right. First up, we've got Chris Sabin, Sanjay Dutt, and Shark Boy versus Simon Diamond, David Young, and Primetime Elix Skipper.
All right. Well, that should, you know, that's a six-man tag.
Six-man tag.
Yeah. Okay. That should be a decent match.
Mm-hmm. Got some nice young talent in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll all get to shine. You should see plenty of spots.
Oh yeah,
which should warm you up for the spots. But yeah, that should be a decent match, I think.
We've got Shocker versus Alex Shelley.
You know, Shelley's a good hand. The Shocker, I'll be honest with you, I have not seen that much of.
Same here.
But a big guy with a lucha background, so Shelley can do, can fly too. So, should be a decent match.
Mm-hmm. We've got Kip James, formerly, of course, known as the Outlaw, and the Alpha Male are going to be teaming up against Ron Killings and Conan. Now, this is going to be a good match because the special referee is going to be our guest's son, BG James.
Yes.
But the whole angle is going to play out tonight.
The whole thing is that they have terribly telegraphed the fact that they are going to switch Brian or BG heel.
Yes.
And they've been telling you that for how long? That much I'm aware of from listening to people talk.
Right.
You know.
Unless they want to swerve us.
Yes, yeah, just that they've drug it out or whatever. Maybe too long by some people's, comments. But, I'm high on Monty Brown as a new talent. BG a lot of people don't, Brian, like his dad says, will walk 10 miles to get around the weight room if he has to. But what he didn't hear from his dad or from his brothers or from whoever is a very good timing and psychology.
Yes.
That's what a lot of people talked about, when they were DX and all, and what, other than the promos, what was his contribution? Well, as a leader in the tag matches,
mm-hmm.
Big, and he'll make Kip James, his adopted brother, better, you know, in terms of tag matches, I think. You know, so that's, yeah, and like I say, I'm high on Monty Brown. I think he does have a future, and, you know, I think he'll be, you know, at some point we'll probably end up changing companies.
I hope not.
Well, I'm not, you know, and maybe they'll be, you know, at that point in time when that comes up, maybe they'll meet the challenge, who knows.
Yeah, it's so selfish of me. Sometimes I don't want these guys to go so we can still get them on the show.
Yeah.
I'm so selfish. If Monty Brown goes to WWE, he's never going to be on this show.
Well, never say never.
Well, that's true.
This is the wrestling business we're talking about.
It's highly unlikely.
Okay.
I'll put it that way.
I'll go with that.
In the X Division non-title match, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels versus Austin Aries tonight.
Yeah, that should be good. That was just the fans picked the opponent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. And Aries is a good worker, you know, and Daniels, is, you know, that's... is, you know, here's a guy who's got to be considered a of the indie scene, a veteran, you know, a good guy in the locker room, can help young guys, good personality, good guy.
Yes.
I'm glad Chris is getting a shot with a steady paycheck every week on top of his indie commitments and everything, because he's certainly worked for it. He's deserving.
Mm-hmm. Austin Aries, he won that poll by a landslide.
Yeah.
I think there were four or five choices, and he got 52% of the vote.
Wow.
Yes. So,
you know, so
wasn't even close.
So it's put up or shut up for him tonight then, too, right?
Yes, it is.
I mean, he basically, you know, he's got to show that was warranted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, in that respect, that's, if putting myself in that position, that's the way I'd be going in.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of pressure for him to perform tonight.
Got to show him why I'm here, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Abyss with James Mitchell is taking on Lance Hoyt tonight.
All right. I don't know much about Hoyt. Honestly, I haven't seen him.
Mm.
I met the kid when he was shopping wrestling schools. Abyss come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I talked to him about doing the show, too.
Oh, yeah, you have?
Yeah. I talked to him Friday night up in Dayton.
Excellent.
And he will, yes, and I'll need to pass that number on to you. I'll hit you with that tomorrow.
Okay.
But anyway, he's a pretty good ring general, I think. The wildest thing, the guy is strong in promos, and of course, with the current gimmick, he can't do promos, sadly enough. You know? And Mitchell, I like. We share a love for Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes.
Gonzo journalist.
Yeah.
Mitchell's a good guy, I think, and he's a good promo man. I'm so amazed that he's never really gotten a strong shot somewhere.
Yeah, I am too. It seems like, I don't know, it seemed to me when I first started seeing him that I had seen him somewhere before, you know?
Yeah.
He's that kind of person. But,
yeah.
But no, I mean, I didn't even know when he hooked up with Abyss, but...
Yeah, it's a good match. I had a chance to work with him in Smokey,
mm-hmm.
briefly, and I was very impressed with him. And like I say, a good guy.
Excellent.
Good guy. Yeah, I think, he and Abyss work well together, too. I mean, although I haven't seen them together, I think
right.
it's just the combination, you know, Abyss's gimmick and Mitchell's stick work. I think they'll do well.
It does. It seems like a good match. The Naturals and AMW taking on Team Canada. That's an 8-man match.
Yeah, Spot City.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's basically what it's going to be. The Naturals, I see a lot of potential in those guys, and they just haven't, pulled it together that well yet. But I see it's there. I think it's just a matter of time. America's Most Wanted, I think, they're a good baby team. I know they want to work heel.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I wouldn't force it. That's my, there's my thing, too. With them, I think I'd let it, just let it happen some way.
Right.
But, yeah, they should have a decent match.
Sean Waldman getting back into action, taking on Jerry Lynn tonight.
Yeah, that should be a good match. These
yes.
guys worked a lot on the indie scene up around Minneapolis. And both can go, you know, although I didn't see their last pay-per-view, I guess Sean pulled off a heck of a match there with Styles.
That was the word.
Yep, and So is Sean, you know, healthy and his head in the game, Sean could go.
Yeah.
You know, he can. And Jerry Lynn is a good technician. I like Jerry's work. You know, both of them.
Here's the one that should probably, it should probably be the sleeper match. It's probably going to be the one that steals the show again. This
Let
is my
tell
pick.
You, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe.
AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. It's not because we had Samoa Joe on our show.
No, I know. Hey, listen, I think my only problem with this match is that it is designated as a X Division tournament match.
Yeah, it's a Super X Cup final.
Yeah, and I don't like seeing Joe lumped in. And when I say that, I have no... Listen, if they want to put Eddie Guerrero in a cruiserweight situation, I say in terms of side, go for it. He can perform there. And I'm not saying Joe can't perform, you know, with the lighter weight guys, but I just hate to see him pigeonholed, you know, typecast, if that's what you're looking for.
As the next division.
Yeah, because I see him with the heavyweights. I see him in Raven, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on using heel or babyface, I just see him, you know, him challenging for that NWA heavyweight title at some point.
Yeah.
You know, and I just don't want to put the... Not that the other is a stigma, because I think, you know, well-developed, whether it be X Division, cruiserweight, light, heavy, call it what you like, is something good to anchor your mid and lower card with. And that's not a depreciative thing, saying that they're not worthy of the top, but let's face it, the heavyweights usually end up, you know, carrying the top two or three slots.
Yeah, but what a quick jump up to the top for Samoa Joe. I mean, he's just started not too long ago. The last pay-per-view, he was booked in basically what was an opening match.
Right.
And, you know, here he is now in what I would say would be a lower main event match.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know.
You know, he's, well, here's the silly thing. If they're going to get Ring of Honor fans, they can't show disrespect to their, the guy who held that belt longest.
Right.
I mean, you know, here we go again with it. Well, the belt doesn't mean... Well, the belt means something. They made that belt mean something, and the big part of that was Joe himself.
Yes, and he definitely deserves it.
Sure. So to bring him in there and have him start jobbing for somebody or just working the first or second match makes no sense, you know.
So in the main event, it's the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Raven.
Yes.
And Sabu taking on Jeff Jarrett and Rhino in a tag team match.
Yes.
I hate to see... The belt not on the line tonight.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's, well, it's not a good fit style-wise for Jarrett. And I, again, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
Right.
It's just not a good style fit, you know. What I mean is what I'm saying. You know, they can have a good match. It's if the Flyers don't, or, you know, if the guys with a more modern style don't, if they'll concede a little bit to Jeff and Jeff's willing, you know, I mean, if there's a halfway point and they meet it, they can have a decent match.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see Raven coming in as the champion.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
And honestly, of course, now I see that since they're not on TV, there's really not a huge net need to, well, they're on the pay-per-view, but don't waste a single thing. But I would, you know, I would go out in October. I'd start with Raven and, you know, pushing him. If he's your man, he's your man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it work.
Yes.
You know, put him out there. Don't hide. I mean, when I say hide him in tags, Raven will get Raven over. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But, you know, put him out there and make his title mean something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I hear the story is, well, they're protecting Batista, okay? Well, you can be overprotective, you know?
Yes.
You can be smothered with too much affection.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got to be out there. He's got to be the man. But, yeah, I think Scotty was a guy I would have put that belt on over a year ago.
Yeah. Have you seen any of Raw this week?
You know what? I have not seen wrestling this week. We were socializing with the Oates family Monday evening after Jerry and I finished work late, and then we went to dinner with our wives and... So we were probably talking wrestling, we just weren't watching it.
Yeah. Well, that's the card for the TNA pay-per-view. It's Sacrifice tonight, live on pay-per-view. It goes on the air right after we go off the air, so be sure and check it out. It sounds like it's going to be a good card, lots of good matches, and, of course, probably going to see a lot of good high spots tonight.
Oh, Kerwin White is arriving on Heat in a golf cart.
right now.
Oh man. Whatever.
Yeah, we're talking about some good wrestling and stuff, and here comes Kerwin.
Yeah. poor Chavo.
You're gonna talk about the
bless his heart, Chavo will make the best out of this. When I say that, I mean, you know, he's been harnessed with stick horses at Amway and everything. I mean, it's like, come on.
Yeah, if anybody can pull it off, it's a good old Chavo.
Yeah, although it's certainly a career killer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, ooh, our featured guest is coming on. He's a legend, of course.
James E., yes.
It's Jim Cornette. He's going to be coming on, and we're going to have a good conversation with him.
Yes.
All right, let's do that, Les. Let's do that now.
Let's do it.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We're going to be right back. Get your questions ready for Jim Cornette when we come back.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. We've got our featured guest on the line, Mr. Jim Cornette. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, I tell you, if I'm the featured guest, I'd hate to see the curtain jerkers.
Bob Armstrong opened for you.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. In that case, I take that back. I don't want heat with the bullet.
So how you been, Jim?
Excellent. Sitting down here at the beautiful estate in Louisville, Kentucky, not going outside because it's 97 degrees every blooming day, and working on a new house.
Wow.
Continually.
Blood pressure is back to normal.
Blood pressure is back to normal. Getting a little tan. Been on a diet. Eating some chicken and fish. Lost a few pounds.
All right.
Good man. Before we get into the obviously, the chat room is going to have plenty of questions, but something that for new fans or for someone that doesn't know the history of Jim Cornette, let's go back and you started as how old were you when you first got hooked on this thing as a fan?
Oh God, like nine. When I started as a fan, and then I was all of 14 when I started doing the souvenir stand photos and the writing the programs and doing the ring announcing and all that stuff.
And I met this guy, Doc, at a WFIA convention. You don't even know what that is, but that's Wrestling Fans International Association.
The international part, with an exclamation point on international.
Yes. With in Knoxville, Tennessee in 1977.
At the beautiful Hotel Andrew Johnson on Gay Street.
And he remembers even the name of the damn hotel.
Are you kidding? I still got the brochure. I've saved everything I've ever had. When I was unpacking, I found the brochure for the place. The last time they painted it or carpeted it was when Andrew Johnson was still president.
And Jim was on my TV show along with Jim Melby and who it was the third guy. Who else was it, Jim?
What was it, Norm Keitzer?
Might have been. Yeah, Keitzer probably.
And Don Wilson, of course, was the executive director of the WFIA.
I saw him in Vegas at Cauliflower Alley just this past April.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
By the way, Doc, we don't need you. You can just walk outside, come back in about 20 minutes. We'll be here.
I just listen for a while, and I cut in when I can.
Doc, the old lecher that he is, he's going to ask you your inside secrets on training Jillian Hall and Melina.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Jillian Hall may not have the sex appeal that she used to at this very moment.
Yeah, exactly. We've been talking about that on the show for a couple of weeks already.
It's amazing how much press that one particular growth has amassed them. But I would.
Well, I told her not to take that apartment that was downstream from the nuclear plant, but she wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, but I bet creative's happy that she's getting the press, even if it's all night.
Oh, yeah. Any press is good press, I guess.
Yeah.
As long as they spell the growth right. I mean the name right.
Yeah.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Now, and I've kicked this around with a couple people. Like this release of a bunch of guys, and I know there's idiots out there that think they're going to run heads up with Vince, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. But I can sense that there could be some semblance of territories come back because these guys have some shelf value. I mean, you know, they have some publicity value.
Well, the problem, and of course you know this less better than almost anybody, is that before the territories can come back, there has to be somebody to run them.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it seems that while there's a shortage of wrestling, of really good wrestling talent, there's certainly more wrestling talent than there is really good wrestling promoters.
Yes.
I think that therein lies the problem. As few really good wrestlers as there are today, there are even fewer good promoters to capitalize on them.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, talking about that, I won't bore the fans, but we talked about this last week. I was down at Jerry Oates' in Columbus, Georgia this past week, and they did a tribute show for Fred Ward. And if you saw this building, you would cry. It's just great. Jerry has remodeled this thing. It took him 2 years to get it together. It's air-conditioned. It has all the bells and whistles, a digital sound system, lights. And they can seat 700, and there was a little over six in there. And he runs his show just dead tight. You know, don't touch my referee, no low blows. You'd love it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, see, that's the thing. Columbus, Georgia, you know, which is has a great history for wrestling. And look at what Tony Hunter's done down in Lenoir, North Carolina last year, drawing between 1,000 and 1,500 people monthly in Lenoir, North Carolina.
Right.
You know, The grassroots level, I guess, is really coming back, and of course the majority of those shows are centered around not the new talent but the older talent.
Yeah.
But you know, and of course here in OVW in Louisville, we do 1,000 to 1,500 people at our Six Flags events. You know, every other Friday through the summer. So Louisville, Kentucky, Lenoir, North Carolina, and Columbus, Georgia are right now outdrawing Atlanta, Georgia, Charlotte, North Carolina, Dallas, Texas, Los Angeles. Well, not Los Angeles. They got the Hispanic promotion out there. But the major markets, there's nobody running the major markets like there was 20 years ago. And you know, now all the attention is on these smaller towns where they're really drawing for good old-fashioned wrestling.
Yeah.
And who would have thought that the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express would be drawing sellouts in 2005 like they were in 1985?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people have a really fond memory of those days, and also it's a chance to actually see something that was related to big-time, good-quality professional wrestling on a major league basis, even if it is 20 years later.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy Golden just started up another promotion in Knoxville. What was it they drew on their first show? 700 or something like that. So they're just trying to run once a month there. But I was, you know, all these guys who got released are going to work someplace. And if some of these people with more money than they got brains, instead of trying to run the whole country from the get-go, would start small and stay smaller, they would end up, it could turn into something profitable, don't you think?
Well, yeah, you know, exactly. That's the problem, is everybody thinks they're going to conquer the world, and in doing so, they spend millions and millions of dollars if they have it, and they end up with nothing to show for it. I'd rather just have, you know, well, my little market right here and let somebody down the road do their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually all those people may be able to work together, but... Well, now I think the best way to make money in the wrestling business is doing the reunions. It's reunion month. I'm gonna be in Charlotte next week at the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends reunion. I'm going to be at Wrestle Reunion at Valley Forge the weekend after that. And, you know, they're drawing bigger crowds to see the guys that don't wrestle anymore than the guys that wrestle now are drawing to see them in action.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this nostalgia thing, it's going to be short term. But I think the neat thing is that it's bringing out a lot of the older fans. And one of my comments, and I'd be curious what your opinion on this would be. Everybody's talking about the Saturday night slot that TNA is going to end up with come October. And I said, well, here's one thing, you know, if the wrestling fans that abandoned everything on Monday night. A couple of years ago, you know, they may be of the age bracket to stay home on Saturday night.
Exactly.
They cultivate them back if it's done properly.
Well, and the thing is, to be honest with you, you know, our OVW television show here in Louisville is on Saturday night at 11 p.m. and has been for over 5 years, and we're sometimes either their highest rated show or one of their two or three highest rated shows on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And we have a young crowd because all of our wrestlers are young. So I think if there's a television show that people want to see, they're going to watch it, you know, regardless whether they have to stay home or make plans or whatever. If they want to see it, they're going to watch it.
Well, and of course, with, I mean, every household's got a tape machine or a DVD machine or something. I mean,
yeah.
They can record it themselves. If they, I mean, if, even if they're going to be out, if they want to watch it Sunday afternoon, they can still have it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's... and with your show, I'll say it, maybe, I don't know if you can, but there were times that the numbers were even better than the other wrestling shows that we won't mention.
Oh, no, I'll tell you, yeah, the WWE syndication on the UPN affiliate here, we trump the crap out of them. They're on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock, but still it's a stronger, it's an older, more established station. But, yeah, you know, we pretty well kick the bejesus out of them just about every week.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, and of course, WWE syndication is not what it used to be. It's not like Superstars of Wrestling was the first one run program, you know, years ago. Now it's whatever they've got with whatever host they can find, and they throw it together and rerun it. So why would anybody want to see it anyway? And I believe they're getting out of the syndication business. From what I understand, in the fall they're not even going to be producing syndicated television. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's not what it used to be. But then again, what is?
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? Now I know that you have a subscription deal with Ohio Valley for the tapes and or DVDs.
Well, exactly, and we've been doing that for several years now, and so we have a lot of people in Germany and Japan, all across the country, and Canada that see the show. It's $20 for a month's worth of television on tape or DVD. And you can go to ovwrestling.com. Once again, that's ovwrestling.com. One more time, that's ovwrestling.com. You can subscribe to the TV shows. You can get back copies, back episodes all the way back to 1999. All kinds of just really cool stuff.
That's excellent. Where can you get that again?
That's ovwrestling.com.
Okay, I was just checking.
since Jimmy doesn't do internet a lot, I want to... make a point here, and then I'll get back.
That's actually the only thing I've learned how to say is ovwrestling.com. Otherwise, I can't turn a computer on.
But I know the chat room is going to have questions, and you know, but I. Yes. Oh, say that one more time.
That's ovwrestling.com.
Since you don't get on the internet, you really aren't aware, or less. Yeah, you're aware. Somebody's told you that our good friend Vince Russo has started a religious wrestling promotion.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Actually, nobody. I heard his video store was going out of business, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But a religious wrestling promotion. Well, I'll say it again, just in case anybody didn't hear it. If there was a God, Vince Russo would have never been in the wrestling business. So right there. Vince Russo has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that we should all be atheists, because if there was a God in heaven, he would have never been allowed to perpetrate what he did on this industry.
I just wanted to get your feedback on that, James D. Because
now all these questions are going to seem tame. We do have questions in the chat room, though.
Well, don't worry, I'll spark them up a little bit.
James E. Dangerously, he wants to know what you think about Paul Burchill in OVW and his chances of succeeding in the WWE.
I think he's a great kid. I think he's got good size. He's good in the ring. He's got a nice personality. He's still young, and I think he's got every chance of making it. I think, you know, it's only a matter of time with a lot of these guys, and then, of course, you know, once they get the opportunity, hopefully he won't have any growths or brain damage or any kind of physical defects to prevent him from becoming a star.
Yes, hopefully. you were for several promoters, Jerry Jarrett, Bill Watts, Jim Crockett, Vince. Which one was the greatest learning experience for you?
Well, in different ways, Jerry Jarrett taught me a lot about a promotion, especially in this area and in this part of the country, in a weekly promotion. Bill Watts, of course, was like going to military school for wrestling with his logic and the way that he presented things with credibility and for maximum impact. He could get heat from anybody. He could get anybody over as a babyface or a heel. With Vince, it, you know, it was about promotion and learning how, you know, and there's a lot of people that could take lessons right now on this, learning how a big company is supposed to promote a national wrestling program, which, you know, for a while there, I would have to say that Vince rewrote the book on that. So, you know, it was a learning experience, really working for all of those people, but in different facets.
Okay. now they're not making fun in the chat room, but they're being silly now. They want to know how you feel about Vince Russo.
We just covered that, didn't we?
I know. It's like, wait a minute. They're like, could you say that again like you do OVW? Like OVWrestling.com?
I'll go you one better. I don't care what Vince Russo's religion is. But if he spent as much time praying for one single clue about the wrestling business as he did anything else, then maybe he'd be better off. I mean, it would take divine intervention for Vince Russo to be able to come up with one single positive idea concerning professional wrestling.
No credit at all from Jim. In your opinion...
Oh, no, you want me to give him credit? I can give him credit.
Okay.
I can give Vince Russo credit for taking possibly the most well-funded wrestling organization in the history of the world and blowing it completely sky high and ruining everything about it to render the television unwatchable to where they sold it for fire sale prices along with his buddy Bischoff. I could do that. You know, I mean, it takes a lot of talent. You can't – how can you take a company, even if you just wrote down Jack versus Joe and Bill versus Bob – how can you take a company that was setting record television ratings and profiting like $80 million a year, and in the space of a year and a half, nobody wanted to watch the television. The people that did watch it thought they were watching something that was written by somebody on acid, and the whole thing be sold for $2 million like a flea market. You know, that's talent. I mean, seriously, it took a special kind of individual to rise to that level of incompetence.
You had to work that hard at that, right?
My God, I don't see how you could possibly do it in a million years, and he did it in a year and a half.
Do you remember George Strickland?
Yes.
George had that dry sense of humor, and I remember him on a trip one time just to fill time. Somebody said, what are you going to do when you get out of the business? George says, I'm going to be an office dude. He said, now, you know, that's not an easy job. And then he did a whole thing on it. But you just, when you're talking about it, it's not easy to screw up all of
this. Crusher Cox, he's in the chat room, he wants to know.
Crusher Cox?
Crusher Cox is the name of this guy.
Okay.
And he wants to know, in your opinion, why don't people talk about the Midnight Express and the Fantastics feud as much as the Rock and Roll Express, because these teams feuded in three separate territories?
Well, that's a good question, and actually, you know, Bobby Fold and Tommy Rogers don't get a lot of credit that they should get, because the matches between the Midnight and the Fantastics were actually, to me, just as good as the matches with the Midnight and the Rock and Roll. I think it's just that the Midnight and Rock and Roll was kind of the epitome, you know, not only in Mid-South, but also in the NWA, of tag team wrestling in the 80s, and it drew such tremendous crowds and drew such money and went on for so long that it's kind of overshadowed everything else. But the Fantastics were a tremendous team and worked really well in world class in Dallas and also in the NWA in 88 when we had those, gosh, I guess 6 months worth of matches with the Fantastics. So, you know, they were great matches. They were a great team, still are. And I think they don't get the recognition just because the Midnight and Rock and Roll, there was just something about it that overshadowed everything else.
Yes. Here's a question from our chat moderator. Les, you know Kristen, right?
What?
You know Kristen, our chat moderator?
Yeah.
She...
Oh, Kristen, the chat moderator.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I was talking to Les, actually, but she's a big Randy Orton fan, and she wants to know, here's her question. She has to ask a Randy Orton question every week. During his time with OVW, did you know Randy Orton was going to be as popular of a superstar as well as the future of the business?
Well, definitely, because as soon as we saw him, you know, he came here to Louisville. He was 19 years old. He'd had, like, I think, six professional matches. But he had it in his blood. You know, his father and his grandfather were both tremendous wrestlers. And he had the size, he had the frame, he didn't have the body yet, but he worked on that. He didn't have the tan, but he worked on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while he wasn't very experienced in the ring and there was a lot of things he did wrong, you could also see that he had the frame. He was like a puppy with big paws. You knew he was going to be big. You knew he was going to grow into it. It was just a question of how long it was going to take, and I'm real proud of Randy and pleased with what he's done so far.
Do you see Randy as the future?
I see him as one of the futures. I mean, you know, you can say the same thing about John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You can say the same thing about a number of young guys that really have, I mean, The Rock we saw and never dreamed he was going to be as big as he was and kind of blaze through and go on to even greater things. We thought he was going to be the future of wrestling for the next 15 years. As it was, he did more than we ever thought he could do in about 3 years, made a bunch of money, went to Hollywood.
Yeah.
But he still loves wrestling. It's just that he's not involved full-time. So, you know, with some of these guys, they just have to have the opportunity. And just always remember, in wrestling, it takes two things. And I always say this, the best booking in the world cannot draw money with subpar talent, and the best talent in the world cannot overcome crummy booking. So a lot of times it takes both. I mean, look how big Batista is now. But, you know, 2 years ago he was out there carrying a box around his neck.
Right.
And, you know, if it had come to this, I'm sure that you know, the face of wrestling now could have been changed, because if they had been in the mind of letting people go at that point, well, there was nobody less over than he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it had happened just a little bit differently, he could have got fired and never got the opportunity. And now he's the biggest thing, you know, going. So, you know, it's not just talent, and it's not just opportunity. It's talent and opportunity in the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the whole Muhammad Hassan business?
I think it was a bulletproof gimmick that they found a way to blow up with nuclear weapons. you know. I mean, let's face it, the heat was there just because he was an Arab. Because whether anybody wants to admit it or not, this is not a racist comment, everybody hates Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hates Arabs, let's just be honest with ourselves. How many times you go in 7-Eleven and wish that the son of a gun could speak English? How many times you try to check in a hotel and you just want to throttle the guy? And of course, let's face it, the Arabic people are their own worst PR people, because There's pictures on CNN and there's video on CNN. When's the last time that an ex-president of the United States died and they tried to jerk the coffin down and pull the body out? Okay? What are these people doing over there? When there's a big funeral, they got the bright idea to take AK-47s out and shoot them off up in the air. Dummies, the bullets come back down. These people act like cavemen on national television all over the world and then expect they're not going to get heat. Try not acting like such stupid son of a bitches.
Man.
So anyway, the point being with Muhammad Hassan, the fact was he was an Arab, was going to get heat.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to see a war that we are currently still involved in with American casualties and being broadcast on CNN every night. Nobody wants to see somebody get their head chopped off on a wrestling program or any kind of sport or entertainment.
Right.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And that don't take much to figure out. So I think it's unfortunate for Muhammad Hassan and Daivari that, you know, because of what they did or what they were instructed to do, that they can't be on television anymore. I think that's unfortunate, because it was enough heat to me, just the fact that, hey, here's a guy with a prayer rug, he's facing east, and he's got a camel on his tights. That's heat. Worked for Sheik for 40 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Have you any idea how many Midnight Express versus Rock and Roll Express matches there have been? And has there ever been a bad match between those two teams? This comes from NTAF in the chat room.
Well, I have no idea how many there have been. I could actually go back through my books and count them up, but I don't have that much time.
Right.
You know, a bad match is subjective. It's like a bad painting or a bad movie. You know, some people are going to like it and some aren't, but... there was one high-profile match that we had on a Clash of Champions from, I believe it was Charleston, South Carolina, back around 1990 or so, maybe 89, 90, that we really went in just, we had done so much and had so many TV matches that we wanted to do some different things, and we came up with some different stuff, and none of it clicked, and we were just crestfallen at the match, or at least me and Bobby and Stan were in the car on the way back. It just, sometimes the cake just don't quite rise. But now that match, if you put it on television today, because of the dearth of any kind of decent tag team wrestling, I haven't watched it in 15 years because I was so pissed off at it at the time, but it might be good now. but at the time, it was enough to really kill the whole trip back to Charlotte, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Double T wants to know if you if you had a tag match against Russo and Bischoff, who would be your partner?
Bruiser Bedlam. Without a doubt.
Yeah, if you can get him out.
I would hire, well, Johnny Cochran's dead. I would have to go to somebody competent to get him out on bail just for that one match. But Bruiser Bedlam would be my partner, and I would have a big fat wallet, as Sam Bash used to say. I'd have a big fat wallet for him if he did the job the way I know he could do it. And I don't mean the job. I mean the job.
Lawson wants to know why you think WWE doesn't have a great tag team division.
Many things. Number one, there's really no good tag teams. Guys are not allowed to get in the business now and team up together and travel from place to place as a team, like the Midnight Express or the Rock and Roll Express or the Fantastics or the Road Warriors or so many others did, you know, in days gone by.
Mm.
And also, WWE has never focused on tag team wrestling. It was never a real important part of their you know, promotion. So it's just gotten worse because now nobody really knows how to book and use tag teams properly. There's not a lot of good tag teams to begin with because guys aren't allowed to stay together long enough to really get good. And since the days of, you know, the Golden Grahams and Rocca and Perez and the Garden in the 50s, tag team wrestling was secondary in the Northeast to the heavyweight title. So it's just that's the way it's evolved.
Yes.
I'm looking for a different one.
Oh, one of those came up, eh?
How different was it being a heel against the Rock and Roll Express and being a face against Paul E. Dangerously?
Well, of course, it was a lot different, but with the Rock and Roll, it was obviously I was on the outside, and the baby faces were outnumbered, and the Midnight Express were beating the bejesus out of them, and I was interfering with Paulie. It was a chance for me to have an antagonist to my protagonist outside the ring, to where the focus was not only on the teams fighting each other, but there were, you know, the yin and yang of managers as well, so it kept us on our toes, too. And being a babyface manager was a challenge for me and something I really enjoyed doing because everybody said you couldn't do it. A babyface manager could not be important and couldn't get over and couldn't be successful or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the perfect time for me to try because I told Heyman one time, I said, you know, Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun couldn't turn me babyface, but you did. You know, I mean, Adolf Hitler could have won a popularity contest over Heyman. So it was a perfect opportunity because I had somebody to really get some heat on the other side so that it could aid me in getting over as a babyface.
Mm. It says you've probably been asked this so many times. This is from Tom in the UK. But for newer fans, where on earth did the tennis racket come from? And now that you're no longer with the WWE, is there any chance we'll see you facing the lights of John McEnroe on the tennis court?
Well, you know, in my younger days, I was able to hop over a pretty nifty net, but I don't think competitive tennis is in my future. But actually, the tennis racket came from when I started in Mid-South. We did a couple of television tapings, and I didn't have it, but I saw the fans in the Mid-South area, and Dennis Condrey told me a lot of stories about them. And I knew that I needed some kind of weapon with which it wasn't originally to whack the other wrestlers with. It was to keep the fans off of me.
Ah.
And I knew I needed some reach on them because I didn't want them to get close enough to cut me.
Right.
So I actually went home to Nashville where I was living at the time and saw one of those teen movies that was popular in the early 80s. And there was a rich preppy kid in this teen movie that always carried a badminton racket around with him. And I said, because canes been done and umbrellas and books and all kind of manager utensils like that.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody had ever had a tennis racket. So the next time I went to Mid-South TV, I showed up with a tennis racket. I said, hey, I'm a spoiled brat rich kid. I would carry a tennis racket from the club back home, wouldn't I? And they said, yes. And then I loaded that son of a gun up, and every time the fans started jumping me, I was cracking them before they could get to me.
Good thinking, good thinking. Have you ever actually played tennis?
Well, I've lobbed a few. So once again, I would not say that competitive tennis has ever been my forte, but ping pong, I'm deadly at ping pong. Got a wicked serve.
Mm-hmm. Hey, is there any independent promotion that you feel has a chance of being a key player in the future?
Well, it depends on, you know, once again, what you call a key player. Is anybody going to overtake the WWE, you know, not in the future, near future, and probably not in our lifetimes? Because there's just too much space in between them and the next biggest competitor. TNA is not going to run the WWE out of business with new television and good pay-per-views. There's a chance, obviously, that they could certainly grow their business, but I don't think anybody's thinking they're going to, you know, take over the WWE spot. Ring of Honor is a tremendous promotion in terms of serving their audience, and I've enjoyed working with Ring of Honor, and we'll probably do some more things in the future. You know, right now I'm probably taking the rest of the year off except for, you know, these wrestling reunions.
Gabe,
but
hey, let me cut in here a second. Gabe told me, I went to the show in Dayton Friday night, and he said he had sort of whetted your appetite with a couple ideas.
He passed a couple of things by me. And I said, well, you know, he got me minorly excited about wrestling again, because I'll tell you, I hate wrestling right now. but part of that is, you know, when you've been booking, I figured up in the last 16 years, I've spent 13 and a half years booking wrestling either for myself or someone else. And, you know, just here in OVW, I wrote 308 one-hour television shows and announced them in a six-year period. As Les will remember, I only took a week off from writing when I had hernia surgery and staggered back into the building with 18 surgical staples in my crotch to produce the show the following week. You get burnt out, and you just get to hate looking at that empty pad of paper every week. And I was really hating wrestling because of the burnout factor, and also because, to be honest, the WWE and I were way far apart on the decision-making ability that I was being allowed to have in my own company here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I couldn't do the job, because when you do this job, you got to have a little obsessive-compulsive disorder. And I do, and I readily admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't do a job to the best of my ability and produce the best product and be allowed to do that, especially when I'm theoretically working for myself, you know, it drives me crazy. So I'm looking forward to decompressing and wringing my head out. But yeah, to finish answering your question, you know, Ring of Honor is a good promotion for the niche of fans that they have. They're not going to be running any 15,000-seat arenas, but their fans are more rabid than just about anybody else's, and they produce a very good product for them. So the question is, key players, you have to find your audience, and you have to serve that audience. And that's being a key player. And that could be big, small, or indifferent, you know, as long as you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Jim? I read this in a book last week, and it jumped off the page at me, and I wrote it down because you were going to be our guest tonight. The very first thought was, I said, they're talking about Jimmy. And then I got to thinking, God, they could kind of be talking about me, too. Well, they'd be talking about Bill Watts or Ole Anderson or Leo Garibaldi. But anyway, this guy, John, was like any true artist, temperamental, irrational, prone to bouts of anger, bossy, but I might add, a heart of gold.
Well, it did sound like us till you got to that heart of gold part.
No. I'm gonna blow your cover here and tell people that that SOB that beats up kids and teaches them the right way to be professional wrestlers actually is a nice guy. He actually is a nice guy. You just got to get him away from the gym. Well, honestly, when I read that, I said, they're talking about my friend Jim. Honestly.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Anybody that wrestling or any type of creative entertainment business, entertainment, sports, pro football is entertainment because anytime, by the nature, by the definition, you buy a ticket to something, you're buying it to be entertained. So any creative business, whether it be rock and roll or television or music, whatever, It's not a job that you take where you go to work at 9 and you get off work at 5 and you just, you know, shuffle papers or you carry one thing from one place to another. You have to live it and eat it and breathe it and sleep it to be good at it. And it's not, what am I going to, because I'm the booker, I'm going to say, well, at 5 o'clock I'm not going to think until tomorrow. Right? I'm going to quit thinking at 5 o'clock, I'm not going to think until tomorrow. I'm on a toilet, I wake up in the middle of the night and I write stuff down. And, you know, you have to be that way, and anybody who's successful in any type of entertainment is fixated 24/7 on their product. And especially when you have, you know, outside influences that are preventing you from doing a job that you know you can do well and that has your face on it, and things are falling in a toilet and your face is still on it and it ain't your fault, you're ticked.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you are. Well, let me say this. Having been involved in the developmental process with WWE as well, Doc, there was a lack of communication, which could be improved upon, but it's paramount to the general manager of the Cincinnati Reds going down to Louisville and telling the manager of the Bats how to run his ball club when he isn't in there on a daily basis. And I think that and whether it's Jimmy or Danny Davis or Al Snow or Hugh Morris or whoever it happens to be, I say that the guy, if you work with the people every day, then you have got to have some input. And in some cases, more so than anybody else.
Well, and also, I don't know that much about baseball to know who owns the River Bats. Do the Reds own the River Bats, or do they contract to?
Either way, that's...
You know, but here's another thing. If they don't own them, it's even more closely resembling our situation. But do the Reds people come down and tell the Riverbats on game day at 5 o'clock, oh, by the way, take your pitcher out. We want to see if this guy can pitch, so put him in. Well, we got to win this game. Well, it don't matter. or you know, your center fielder. He's not going to be there today because we decided to take him. Oh, but the game starts in 3 hours. Well, it don't matter. Put somebody else in there. But we got to win. No, you don't. It don't matter. We'll pay you anyway whether you win or not. Just go ahead. Well, I like to win the game.
And as you say, you have a company to run. And, I mean, that's – and obviously there's got to be a middle ground. But still, if you're the guy coordinating everything on the scene and the particular satellite part of the company, then you got to be able to run it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm under the impression that it's come down now that they even they set the times for training, or
yeah, basically, you know, Danny Davis and I, we can basically determine right now what brand of Schnapple that we sell at the concession stand. We have meetings on that a couple times a week. That's one of the big important decisions that we're allowed to make on our own down here. Just because. We pay the bills and our name's on the company, and it's our butt on the line. If we don't make money, we got to, you know, kick our out of our pocket to support it. You know, but we do have those regular Schnapple meetings every Tuesday and Thursday. And we had a big decision to make last week. We changed the brand of Hefty bags we were using in the garbage can. And we had to commission a survey on that. You know, we had a focus group. To determine which hefty bag was the strongest and was able to contain the spills best.
Yeah.
That was a big decision we made. So, yeah, so we've still got a lot of decision-making power down here.
Real quick, because I know we're running out of time, Doc. I know we got to bail. Jim, what you're currently, once you come on, you know, once you get the garage clean, you are going to be basically behind the scenes selling time for the TV show, lining up spot shows, and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, actually, I've had some meetings with the television station, and we want to expand in terms of sponsorships. We want to expand in terms of local shows and some fundraising things with the fire departments down here and get our spot shows promoted better, because that's one thing that I was not able to do, or I really would have been burnt out, was in addition to writing and announcing and producing a television show, able to go and, you know, I would go to the spot shows to lay out the event. And I would say, well, who promoted this? Was there a press release in the newspaper? Was there time on the radio devoted to it? I mean, you know, who was in charge of this? And that's one area that we have not had anybody to apply themselves to. So that's what I'm going to be doing, because it's another way for me to not leave Louisville, Kentucky, which I don't like to leave town a lot, and also try to make the company stronger. So that is what I'm going to be doing more heavily next year. Like I said, after I take the next few months off and get the garage cleaned out.
Very good.
Excellent. I got one last question for you. We always hear about ways to get in the business as a wrestler, but we never hear about how to get into wrestling as a valet or a manager. Do you have any tips to somebody who wants to get into the management side of wrestling?
Yeah, don't even think about it. Because I'll tell you this, you know, many people claim that I'm the quote-unquote greatest manager of all time, and truthfully and honestly, with the amount of time that I've been featured on television as a manager over the last 10 years, if I can't really get a spot, then I don't think anybody else is going to. The problem is, managers are a lost art, and for it to be a found art again, they have to be booked. And unfortunately, if you don't look good in a bikini and have fake plastic snavises,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a lot of male managers anymore.
Yeah, that's true. We've had a great interview with you. You have to come back soon, and we got to finish. We've only got to ask like half the questions in this room. Everybody's going crazy, and they all want to hear from you. We have to have you back real soon.
Well, that was part of the plan, because now you can make the certified checkout to Jim Cornette.
Okay.
And I'll come back and finish what I started.
Excellent.
And where can we get those OVW tapes out again?
That would be OVWrestling.com.
Excellent, excellent. Jim Cornette on Wrestling Weekly. Jim, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, guys. And Les, I will see you soon one way or the other.
Yeah, I told you, Brock and I are going to come down and do lunch, so I'll give you a shout.
There you go.
All right, man.
All righty.
Take care, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, we are going to be cutting out of here. We ran only a couple minutes late. We knew we were going to run late, but we only ran a couple minutes late this time. Don't forget to check out what Les is up to every week at lesthatcher.com and epwt.com. That's Elite Pro Wrestling Training. Also, for all your wrestling needs, it's obsessedwithwrestling.com. They have it all for you over there. Les?
Jim, yeah, okay. Doc, we've had a good show tonight.
Excellent show.
And next week we've got Jimmy Jacobs.
Yes.
And Lance Storm.
And
right?
Lance Storm, yes.
Very good.
So it's going to be a good show.
All right.
Check back with us next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, check us out during the week. We've got all the news for you on WrestlingWeekly.com. And we have columnists, different column every day from our columnists.
Someone writing columns.
Yes. Every day you're going to see somebody writing a column on Wrestling Weekly. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us, and good night.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.